feel like praising, praising Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Is that the way it is? If the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. Because I don't have a joy that depends on what the world's doing, if it's up or if it's down, or things are going good or it's not. I have a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. That goes beyond the temporary things that I deal with and go through. It's an eternal joy. It comes from an eternal place. And so we're thankful for that. Amen. We have a couple of prayer requests. Brother Jason Taggart's asking prayer for his mom and dad, really sick, needing a touch from the Lord. Also, Sister Diana Sigmund, been suffering in a lot of pain. Also, want to remember prayer for Sister Adeline Butts. She's home, not feeling well today. Amen. How many would have a need? You just want to make it known to the Lord and just ask the Lord to come by and speak to your heart. Amen. Let's just go to Him in prayer. Father, we just come to You tonight, Lord, and just once again so thankful to be able to stand here today and to worship You and give You praise and glory and honor. To thanks, give thanksgiving, Lord, in this time, this season of thanksgiving, thanking You for life and health and strength, and food, raiment, shelter, all the things You've done for us, Lord. You've been so good to us, Lord. And Lord, even we didn't even deserve it, Father. You're still so good to us. And we're thankful for that, Lord. And we're thankful that we can call upon You in our time of need and have, Lord, loved ones that are sick and not feeling well and in pain and suffering and things that are going on, Lord. Just also got news, Lord, that Brother Marty McCombs just passed over to the other side. And Lord, I just pray, Father, You comfort that family in this time, Lord, I pray. And Lord, the mom and dad, Brother Jason's mom and dad that is sick, Lord, just reach down and touch them. Sister Diana, Lord. Lord, just heal her the pain in her body, we pray. Lord, Sister Ada, Lord, at home sick, just touch her. We ask You for Your glory. Lord, no doubt if I'd asked for hands all over this building, they would have been lifted up. But God, we know, Lord, we have many needs in our midst, many needs in our lives. But we're so thankful we serve You, a God who can meet each need according to Your riches and glory. And Lord, that we can just call on You in confidence, knowing that You hear our prayer and You answer us, Lord, in our time of need. Lord, so we ask, God, You just deliver healing to Your children. And Lord, if there be any other needs, situations, financial, whatever it is, Lord, You reach down and touch. Lord, may You just come and bless this service with Your presence, Lord. We can sing, we can see each other, we can do a lot of things, but God, we got to have You. And we desire You to be in our midst, so we invite You tonight to come down and speak to us and touch us, Lord, and reach down into our hearts, Lord. And Lord, if we need some correcting, correct us, Lord. If we need building up, build us up. Lord, whatever it is, Father, just meet us, Lord, with Your word today, we pray. We give this time to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just turn around, shake one of His hand. Welcome each other to the house of the Lord. Just want to remind you of our fall festival this weekend. Just also be in prayer for good weather. Going to be kind of surrounded by some rain, so but looks like that day's still going to be good, so we're just claiming that and believing that. And got Brother Jack Duff that'll be here with us, and really looking forward to having him. He'll do some singing on Sunday and ministering of the Word, so it's going to be a good time. So if you have not been able to sign up to bake a cake or a pie or do something, amen, do it. So it's going to be a good time. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, bake us a pie. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful weekend. Hallelujah. God bless you. Jesus on the main line. Tell Him what you want. Ask Sister Jessica to come right after this. It's on the main line. Tell Him what you want. It's Jesus on the main line. Tell Him what you want. It's Jesus on the main line. Tell Him what you want. Main line now. Call Him up. Oh, call Him up. Call Him up. Tell Him what you want. Call Him up. Call Him up. Tell Him what you want. Call Him up. Tell Him what you want. If you need healing, if you need your healing. want. If you need your healing, tell him what you want. If you need your healing, tell him what you want. It's Jesus on the main. Now call him up. Oh, call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Oh, call him up. Oh, and tell him. It's Jesus on the main.
Just want to teach you a new song, so if you know it, just join in with me.
There is a name I call in times of trouble.
nobody like you, Lord. You're my Jesus. There's none like you, Lord. You're my Jesus.
Amen. There's nobody like Jesus. I said, there's nobody like Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together as we get ready for the word. Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? Who told the ocean you could only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer. Oh, He lives. Let all let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. Very same God that spins saints in orbit runs to the weary, the worn and the weak, and the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken. They conquer death to bring me victory. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all create testify, let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer, He lives to take away my shame. Oh yes, He lives forever, I proclaim. Oh, that the payment for my sins was a precious life He gave. But now He's alive, and there's an empty grave. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer. Oh, He lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer, He lives to take away. Aren't you glad about that? Yes, He lives forever, I proclaim. Oh, that the payment for my sins was a precious life He gave. And there's an empty grave. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer.
I know my Redeemer lives, amen. And because He lives, we live also, amen. Let's pray together. Father, how grateful we are tonight to have this opportunity. Lord, may it never be lost on us, Lord, how great this opportunity is and the promises that You've given us, Lord, for every single time we gather together. Lord, I just pray tonight that you'll speak to hearts. Lord, that you'll move me out of the way. Lord, you see how you laid this on my heart. And Lord, how it's even blessed me as I've looked at it. But I'm fully aware of my inability, Lord, to help or to bless or to even put this over in a way, Lord, that would lift burdens off of people. But what I know is if the anointing comes, Lord, then the yoke is broken. And when the anointing comes, then, Lord, things of eternal value can take place in this service, Lord. So Lord, we step aside now and we ask you to speak, Father. Lord, whether it be in my notes, off my notes, a completely different subject, Lord, may I, Lord, be sensitive to the unction of the Holy Spirit. Grant it now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you very much. If you have your Bibles with you and you'd like to open with me to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God tonight, isn't it? Amen, amen. We'll read Ephesians 1. 3 through 11, then we'll also look at Psalms 91. I'd like to speak to you for a little bit tonight on the thought, a place for you, a place for you. Here in Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Amen. And if you'll turn with me also to the book of Psalms, chapter 91. Psalms chapter 91, we'll just read verses 1 and 2 there. And it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust." Amen. I pray that the Lord will add a blessing to the word as you have your seats this evening. What a place to be, a secret place of the Most High. Amen. A place that we can call a refuge and a fortress. And, you know, as I looked at this and thought about this, so many different directions that I wanted to go and so many things turning over in my mind, just thinking about us as the bride of Christ, thinking about human beings and the human condition. And, you know, we have a wonderful position in Christ tonight. And it's a high and it's a holy calling. And we've been placed here as the final voice to the final age. But we live in a world that's designed to get our eyes off of that. Amen. We live in a world that's designed to beat us down and really, in general, just to wear us out. You know, it seems like we're tired all the time, worn out all the time, even if not physically, then the spiritual battles and the emotional things that we deal with and that we go through. And the devil does everything he can to get you to lose track of your real purpose. Amen. The place where you are called to live at, the place that you're called to operate from. And you know, oftentimes I'll say the devil doesn't have to get us to recant. All he has to do is to get us to relax. Because we live in such a strong age and such an evil current that if you're not fighting with everything within you against that current, you're going to be going the wrong way. If you're in that current relaxed, you're going the wrong direction tonight. Amen. So it's a constant battle. But as human beings, we're often looking for our place. And I was just thinking about that, about, you know, even through the years as a school teacher and dealing with young people, you see people constantly looking for their place and where do they fit? Where do I belong? What is my purpose? And you know, I think all of us want to feel a part. All of us want to feel needed, and we want to be wanted, and we want to feel loved. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I want everyone here to find that place. I want all of you to find that, and I want everybody to feel loved here, and I want everybody to feel a part here, and you know, to have friends and to have purpose. And often we think of these types of things as kid problems, you know, or teenage things. You know, they're just trying to find their place. But in reality, I think it doesn't matter how old we get. You know, we all still have that desire to find our place, to find out where we're needed and discover a sense of purpose and really to feel connected. Amen. It's something we all have a desire for, and it's not really something that we ever get to. You know, I was thinking it's more of a journey than it is a destination, because seasons change and jobs change and our connections change, and you go through different phases. You know, you're a teenager and you have certain friends, and then you start dating, and because of who you're dating or the situation, now you have different friends, and then you get married and you're like, well, now who's my friends? And then you have kids and your kids choose your friends, and you end up being friends with the parents of your kids' friends, and then you become grandparents, and apparently that's a good thing. That's what all my friends tell me. But you go through these constant phases and changes, and churches change and friend groups change and people change and priorities change. And so it's not a single destination, but an ongoing journey, really, of self-reflection and reshaping and refinding. And I understand tonight that we're all different, and I can only speak from my perspective, because really right now there's people sitting here going, what is he even talking about? And then there's other people sitting there going, yeah, I get it. I know exactly what he means. I've been on that journey myself, and I understand. And so, you know, because some folks, they just roll right through life and they never think about it. They just do their thing and it all comes natural to them. Fit, don't care. They're just doing their thing, you know. But the reason I'm even talking about all this, and to get down to the point, is because of the tendency to allow the struggle to find your place, or the struggle to find where you fit, to have a negative impact on your self-worth. Amen. And how you view yourself, because of how you do or don't fit in a group, or how you do or don't fit with friends or in a church, you allow it to affect your self-worth, and our testimony of ourself begins to become negative. And we begin to look at ourselves in a lower light. We think of ourselves in a diminished value. And we think of ourselves maybe as not good enough. And nobody loves me and nobody cares. And really, this isn't just a social thing. This is a really important piece, because what happens is it goes much deeper than our social life, because we let that struggle in the natural begin to bleed over into the spiritual. Amen. And we think, well, why would God do it for me? I'm a nobody. Well, why would God do that for me? I can't overcome and I always fail. And now when we face something, we face it with negativity. Well, I'm not going to be able to get through this trial, and my family's going to fall apart, and we're not going to make it. And we begin to allow these things to affect our testimony. I'm just a nobody, and I'm not good enough. And as I look at this, I just want you to understand, I'm not here to play psychologist tonight. I'm not here to go deep into the ins and outs of friendships and core values and personality conflicts and how that all goes into friend groups and social circles and all that. That's not what this is about. But I was just thinking on finding our place in all the struggles that we have as humans and how it affects our view of ourselves. And the devil would love to get in that. Love to get into natural things and into a place where you struggle here and the failures that you have here and make you get down on yourself here and let your focus be on things here and the struggles that you have here. So down about where you fit in here and where you belong here that you lose sight of your place in the Word. Because this is the place that matters the most. Our place in Him matters more than any friend group. And our place in Him matters more than any social circle. And I want to get us our face back tonight turned to, what is my place in Him? And am I operating in that place? Am I fully taking advantage of the access that the message of the hour has given me to go back into relationship like Adam had in Eden? Amen. Our place in the Word, our place in Him, our position in Him is what is of importance tonight. What you mean as an individual to the body of Christ tonight. Not so much what you mean at work or who you are there, if you're the cool person, but what do you mean to the body of Christ tonight? And I want to tell you tonight that there is a place for you. It is a high and a holy place, and it's an important place. And it's been said before, and I want to say it again tonight. No one can take your place. No one brings to the table what you bring to the table. Nobody can play the part that you play. The prophet of God would tell us, he said, he has a purpose in your life. I want you to let that sink in tonight. It's not just a purpose for Evening Light Tabernacle. It's not just a purpose for the ministry or the musicians or the deacons. God has a purpose for your life as an individual. Amen. He says that no one else on the face of the earth can take your place. God has got something for you. You're made like that. You was did that way for a purpose. Don't despise the way you are. No, I'm not saying to sit there and accept your complexes and accept. I'm not talking about those things. Those are things that God can deal with in your life. But many times, maybe the way we're natured or the family we came from, and we resent those things. And yet I want you to know tonight, God wants to use those things for His glory and for His purpose. Amen. You're an important piece to the puzzle. And the thing is, we're not leaving here until the puzzle is completed. That's one reason we put so much into it, and we're calling out for the new birth, and the ministry goes here and goes there. We want to complete the puzzle. We want to find that final piece that allows the full picture to come together, to where the Lord says, okay, what I had for you to accomplish is accomplished. Come home to the place that I have prepared for you. But you are a piece in the puzzle. And I don't care if you're that perfect little corner piece, or that little jagged, cut up 100 different ways piece that nobody seems to know where it fits. But the thing is, until that cut up little jagged piece gets placed right where it's supposed to be placed, the picture is incomplete. But when it gets there, you say, oh, I see it now. I see the detail. What a beautiful picture. Each and every one of those pieces is just cut and jagged and torn, and it looks like a mess. But when we put it all together, when the master's hand places it in the place that it's meant to be, then what a beautiful picture it creates. When you're placed perfectly, then the whole picture comes together. But what the devil wants to do tonight is he wants to keep you looking elsewhere. Keep you wanting to be a different piece in the puzzle. Keep you wondering what and where your place is tonight. And maybe for some it isn't fitting in, but maybe some people fit in too well. Maybe they're able to blend any and everywhere they go. Maybe their career is too good and it's pulling them away from their purpose in the Lord. The pull to accomplish more here and be somebody here keeps you out of the place that God wants to use you to accomplish things for His kingdom and His glory. Amen. But whatever it is, the enemy tries to steer you away from your place and your calling and away from the victory that comes when you find your place in Him. You want victory in your life? Get in Christ Jesus. Lay your will down. You want to overcome? Fall deeper in love with Jesus tonight. Well, what's the secret? What would Brother Branham say? You know, what was the secret? Pray and read your Bible. Why? Because that's getting in with Jesus Christ. That's spending time with Him. That's drawing you closer to Him and His will for your life. People say, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Have you talked to Him about it? Have you spent time with Him? Can you even recognize His voice when He speaks to you? Draw closer to Him. That's where you find true victory. The prophet of God tells us, he says, nobody can take your place. No matter how little you say, I'm just a housewife. Nobody can take your place. God in His great economy has set the body of Christ in order till there's no one can take your place. Now listen to this. The greatest ministry to strike the face of the earth since Jesus Christ. And He's dealing with the same thing. How I would like to take Billy Graham's place. It's human condition to look around and see things that's not you and go, oh, wow. Oh, look at how they, look at they. Instead of just stepping back and saying, thank you, God, for letting me have a portion. Amen. Thank you, God, for letting me be a piece in the puzzle. He says, any of us ministers, but we can't do it. But here's the part I like. But just remember, Billy can't take our place. I don't care how gifted somebody is, how beautiful, how wonderful their voice, how talented they are. They cannot take your place. They cannot do what God has called you to do. They cannot conquer the enemies that God has called you to conquer. That's your job. That's your place. That's your position tonight. He says, Billy can't take our place. See, we all have a place. Some of us are evangelists, some prophets, some teachers, some pastors, whatever we are. And he don't leave it there in the ministry. Some housewives, some mechanics, some farmers, whatever it is. That covers it all right there. God has set you in your place. He says here, you're each one set in God's economy just for his place. I love this. One fast all the time and communes with God. Now, how many people see that? Nobody. But now take the next part. One cast out devils. Everybody sees that. My, what a ministry. My, what power. Do you see that? Every time they lay hands on the sick, the devil's cast out. And Brother Brown tells you why. One cast out devils because the one is fasting. Where's the true power? Where is it really coming from? I'll tell you why. It's a puzzle. It's pieces. And as long as you're playing your part, then God gets the glory. God's kingdom's lifted up. Satan's kingdom is tore down. Oh, the devils were cast out. Why? Somebody was fasting. Somebody was praying. Prophet of God said, you want to be a hindrance to a meeting? Don't pray for it. If you want to be a blessing for a meeting, you want these services to be more powerful, you want the Spirit of God poured out, don't just show up and say, I'm going to amen. You be in prayer for the service. You be pulling before you ever get here. God, I need you tonight. God, I know there's needs in the body. God, I know you're going to meet us. I'm coming under anticipation. But it's the whole body of Christ working together, the unity. It's a place that only you can feel. A part of him placed in his body. That's what you are. You are a part of him placed in his body where he wants it for a specific purpose. An overcoming life that only you can live. Brother Joe, you're the only one that can live Joe Adams' life. Seems so simple, and yet when you think about it, it's so profound. I can't overcome your trials. Only you can. I can't break the cycles of your family. Only you can. I can't overcome your fears. Only you can. He has you here where you are to win victories that only you can win because only you can live your life. Those are victories that only you can win. Only you can whip the devil the way you whip the devil. I'm going to do my part. And I'm going to whip him the best I can. But I need you whipping the devil the way you whip the devil. Doing your part. Living your life. Overcoming in your home. Overcoming on your job. Overcoming at school each and every day. It's your place of victory. We all have a place. And it's your place of victory. Maybe it's through great trials and hurts and hardships, but through that, a victory that only you can win. Only you can win. He has it in his mind. Devils that are going to be whooped, victories that are going to be won, situations that are going to be conquered, and he's assigned each one to certain people, and I can't come on your ground and do what he's assigned you to do. It's time for you to step into your place, square back your shoulders and say, I'm going to do my part, whatever that part is. And out of that comes a praise. Out of that comes glory and praise for him. Out of that comes a worship and a praise that only you can give. You know that nobody can praise him like you praise him. That's why your praise is important. He didn't come here for a collective worship. He came here for your worship. He came here to get the worship that you're going to give him for the victories you won this week because he gave you the power to do so. He showed up to receive your praise. Nobody can praise him like you do. We don't have to praise Him like others and impersonate others. You be you in the house of God. I mean, He wants your worship the way He called you to worship for the victories that He's won for you. Amen. You come and give Him your praise and give Him everything you have. Not dance like her and shout like her. That's her praise for the victory she's won. You give Him the praise out of your heart for the victories He's won in your life. Amen. But your praise is totally different because I don't know like you know what He's done for you. That's your victory to praise Him for. And our praise is genuine because it's a praise that comes from us because of what He's done for us as individuals. Each and every one of us have so much to praise Him for. I've got something to praise Him for, and only I can give Him the praise for the victories that He's given me. Listen, I don't have to get the music just right. I don't have to have just a perfect sermon. What He's done for me is eternal. It's good before church, during church, after church. It's good in the slow songs and the fast songs. It's good on good days. It's good on bad days. I've got something to praise Him for tonight. I don't have to get here and let everybody else get going. I show up ready to praise Him because He's done so much for me tonight. Hallelujah. Your worship is unique. And the devil tries to rob you of that and keep you from giving it to Him because I'm unworthy. He tries to get you to sit there and not give Him praise because, well, who am I to worship and who am I to praise? Listen, you can't view yourself as a failure and unworthy and no good and still find your place in Him. You have to recognize what you were, but view yourself through the sacrifice. I know what I was, but don't talk about what you was as if that's what you are, or you strip the power of the blood away. I know what I was, but I know what my sacrifice was. I know it was spotless. I know it was blameless. I know that when He died and shed His blood, He sent His Spirit back on me. And that sacrifice is good enough to cleanse me. I can stand here today. I have a place in Christ. I have a right to all the blessings. I have a right to everything that He gave before the foundation of the world. I will forget not all His benefits. Why? Because you're good enough? No. I know what I was. I know who I was. But I know who He is and what He did in my life and how He cleansed me and saved me and turned me around. Hallelujah. Why is it such a struggle? It's a struggle and it's a battle because of the fall. That very feeling and that longing and the struggle of what is my place comes because Adam gave our place away. He forfeited it. And so now all mankind wanders around in a state of who am I? Where do I belong? And we can trace it all back to Adam forfeiting his position there in the garden. With the devil, it was always about place. It was always about position. Satan trying to take positions that didn't belong to him. He exalted himself and tried to take God's position. He's cast out and then he wants Adam's position. Why? For an access back to the heavens. And now today, he wants to continue sitting in your position and not allowing you to claim it. He wants to continue to sit there and usurp authority over you. So with the fall, man loses his fellowship and his relationship and his communion. Inheritance was lost. Authority and power is lost. Access is lost. His place with God completely forfeited in it. And it started man on a journey of looking for his place. But the problem with this journey is no matter how much man looked, access had been cut off. There was no way back in. The heavens had been shut off. But as God sent him out of the garden, I love how Brother Brown would talk about it in conferences in different places. He says he just couldn't stand to see him go. He couldn't stand to see him go. And he watched Adam walk out, put his arm around Eve. He said, wait just a minute. He says, I'm coming with you. He said there's a promise of a redeemer, and he gave a promise of one that would come, that would bruise the head of the serpent, that would break the spell of the curse, and it would break the barb of the curse. And he gave a promise of a redeemer. It was the promise of one that would come and redeem us back, and he would strip Satan of every right and place those things back in the hands of man once again. And that's exactly what he did there at Calvary. Prophet said that he beat Satan to pieces. He said he stripped him down and took every power he had and took every right he ever had to hold you. And he went to hell and conquered hell. So tonight, reading that and knowing that and seeing it in the scriptures, we can declare tonight he has no right to hold you. He's nothing but a bluff. The prison doors are open. The rope has been cut. And he's just calling you tonight. So step out and take your place. Step out and come to my side. You're called and chosen. And the prison doors are open tonight. He has no right to hold you anymore. No power over you. No rights to keep you from operating in your position. Tonight you can go back to your place as a child of God and operate now in heavenly places. We got to quit looking off to one day and the final sweep. And when the bride gets... Listen, everything we have need of is in this message. It's already been given. It's there. It's looking for a people that'll let faith inspire their heart. And they'll step into that place and step into that position and say, we know it works. We've seen it work. We've seen it taken on the lips of man. And it conquered demons night after night after night. It's changed hearts in this building. It's filled people with the Holy Ghost. We know it works. Amen. Need a people to step into the place and operate it in faith. Amen. Prophet of God says, and he said, these things that I do, when he was on earth, greater shall you do, for I go unto my Father. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive them, you shall have them. That's the Creator speaking. Is that right? Now listen to this. Then it doesn't lay in him. It lays in us. My. Then we in fellowship, what Adam lost in the fall, Christ restored in his death. Do you believe that? To bring man back into fellowship with God. Now the church has moved up to that fellowship with God. Communion like Adam had in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Taking all sin away, free from condemnation. Holy Spirit cleansing us from all sin. Now you're free to exercise the next step in God. Take the next step. Well, Brother Aaron, what is that? Well, I'll tell you what, how about this? We won't make it a blanket statement for everybody. It's the next step wherever you are. It's time for you to take another step tonight. It's time for you to quit going around the same spot, the same mountain, over and over and over again. I'm so thankful we came out of Egypt, but there's a promised land to attain to. There's many of us that have fallen with the same problems, the same things, the same hindrances, the same cycles. And he says, take the next step with God. Determine in your heart, how far do I got to go? Just take a step tonight. Just step back into your place tonight as a believer. Amen. Because tonight, under the message of the hour, we have access to our place. What is that place, Brother Aaron? It's a place where you conquer. It's a place where you overcome. It's a place of victory. And it's your place tonight. Amen. Satan has no right to continue keeping you from your place. Well, I feel like I'm in my place. And you have no peace? See, yours is a place of peace. Yours is a place of joy. Yours is a place of rest. Don't let him rob you tonight of living and operating from that place. Hallelujah. You are in Christ and Christ in you. And you have benefits and you have rights. Full of doubts. Full of fears. Defeated by complexes and lies, you can live above that. Matter of fact, you're called to live above that. It's who you are. You can't be living in your place and being defeated by all those things at the same time. I say tonight, quit wallowing in your failure. Quit wallowing in your sickness. Quit wallowing in your complexes. That's not your place tonight. It's not who you are. Listen, sickness is part of the fall. Stress is part of the fall. Complexes come from the fall. Failures come from the fall. But Jesus came and he stripped the power of those things away and placed us once again in fellowship where we can take the word on our lips. As believers, we can take the word on our lips and speak victory and see it manifest. That sickness, will it come? Yes, but take the word on your lips. Complexes, yes, but take the words on your lips. Fear, anxiety, sure, it's the age we live in, but take the word on your lips tonight and begin to speak to those things, because the curse is broken and our place has been restored tonight. So with that, let's quit giving so much lip service to the effects of the fall. Quit speaking so much about the attacks of the fall. Quit living in a place of defeat. Well, Brother Aaron, what do you mean defeat? Look, I'm not talking about losing your salvation or saying you're not saved. That's not what we're dealing with. But living in a place without joy. Living in a place without peace. A life lived in the valley. A life not conquering. The message didn't come in this day so that we could live in a state of survival. The denominations are down through the ages, the saints, the people, they survived with what they had. But under the message of the hour and everything restored, we should be thriving, not just surviving. We should be overcoming and Satan's eaten. And because of that, because that place is afforded to us, and because we were drawn back to the original place that Adam fell from, that's why you find yourself miserable when you're living below your privileges. That's why Brother Brown would talk about you got just enough to make you sick. Because you know there's more for you, and you're being drawn to it, and there's a longing, and there's something calling out for more. But what happens is many times that drawing and that calling, people mistake what it is, and they allow it to become condemnation. They mistake what it is, and they feel like, well, I'm not good enough. And they let condemnations and feelings of worthlessness begin to creep in and begin to take hold, when really, all they're feeling is a call for more. They're feeling a drawing to surrender more. They're feeling God call them, saying there's more for you in this age. It's a call for them to come up higher. And it's that word calling out to the word, saying you aren't meant to live at a denominational level. Amen. Come on up. Come on up a little higher. There's a higher place open for you tonight. Seek more. Go deeper. Run harder. Press in. It's not saying you don't have nothing. It's not saying you're not saved. It's saying there's more for us tonight. There's a higher plane. There's a voice that called out and said, come up higher in this age. Amen. Prophet God said, not a good neighbor, but a son of God, molded in the image of God, with the dynamic power of God to answer the request of this day. Why we preach so much about the dynamics, 1965. Why? Because you can't answer the day. You can't stand in the day without the dynamic power. Amen. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There ain't no pen gonna hold you. He hunts for his mama. He's an eagle to begin with. He recognizes, this real eagle recognizes the call of God's word. Why? He's an eagle. This eagle ended up in the chicken pen. It didn't make him not an eagle. He's an eagle. But there was something calling him to come up higher tonight. He says, why? He's an eagle. An eagle to an eagle. The word before the foundation. The word to the word. The word predestinated to the word written for the hour. You realize your position. I love this. He hunts for it. He hunts for it. Not satisfied with a little. Not satisfied with Sunday religion. What's he say? He hunts for it. I'm going hunting tonight for all my rights. I'm going hunting tonight for all my benefits. I'm going hunting tonight for all that belongs to me. The devil thought he robbed me and got away with it. But look out, devil, I'm a hunter tonight. I'm hunting for you. I'm hunting for everything you took. I'm hunting for my family. I'm hunting for my joy. He recognizes that's mine and he hunts for it. He goes after it. Don't sit back tonight and say, well, I guess he can have it. God's equipped you tonight to go hunt for it and take back what belongs to you. Hallelujah. This is my home. This is my family. That's my victory. Hallelujah. That's my position. I'm going hunting for it tonight. Hallelujah. Well, it doesn't really matter, brother. Listen, your place and your position matters. Your place in the company matters. Let the janitor walk into a high-level meeting with the CFO and CEO and say, listen, guys, here's what we're going to do. Why can't he do that? Position. I ain't real fond of how you've been running this show. You go on home. I got this. That ain't going to go over. Position matters. Where you're standing at tonight matters. Don't be satisfied living down here in janitor world if there's a CEO world awaiting you and they're saying the job is yours. We're going to pay you. We're going to give you all the benefits. We're going to give you everything you have need of. No, I'm good. I kind of like this old mop. And yet some of us walk around like that, justified, sometimes sanctified, wondering why I can't overcome, why this, why that, my family's struggling, I'm struggling, we got this. And there's a voice calling out saying there's a place for you up higher tonight, but you got to hunt for it, you got to fight for it. He's offering it to you tonight saying I've redeemed it back for you, but you got to accept it tonight and say that's my position. Your place in the company matters. There's authority that comes with that position. When you're the boss and you have that authority, just because you're sick, you're still the boss. Just because you're having a bad day, you're still the boss. It's my position. It's my place. Quit being so quick to lay down what's yours every time you have a bad day or a bad thought. Yep, I knew I didn't have nothing. Here's all that back. Let me head on back to the janitor closet. I stumbled today, and I'm still the boss. I struggled today, and I'm still the boss. I had a bad thought go through my head, and I'm still in my position as the boss. I'm still a blood-bought, blood-washed son or daughter of the living God. That has not changed. Your stumbles don't make you lose your place. Your mess ups, your running, your doubts. Satan tries to make you think that what he does matters when it comes to God's position and placing. That your failures disqualify you. You wasn't qualified to begin with. I wasn't qualified to begin with. How are you going to disqualify me? There ain't like an extra level of disqualification. I never was good enough. I never did live pure enough. I never was holy enough. But there was one that came from glory and he said, I'm coming down and I'll take your sins and I'll take your failures and I know you'll run. I know you'll fall. I know you'll struggle, but I got a place for you. I got a position for you. Hallelujah. I got a rapture for you. He knew you would run. He knew the storms would blow you off course. He knew your ups and downs. He knew you'd try to get away from it. And he said, it's still for you. It's still your place. I ain't got an eraser. I'm not taking your name off the Lamb's Book of Life. It's still yours. Hallelujah. He says, you're a part of me. And no one else can be that part. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure you overcome. To make sure you take your place and play your part, because no one else can do it. It's your part. It's your place. He says no one could take Moses' place, no matter how much he run, no matter how much he tried to get away from it. Yet God knows what he's doing. He knows just what he had to take and make out of Moses. These things had to happen. Now watch. No one could take his place. But there's another part to this. If you're the boss, you got to take the reins. If you're the boss, you got to step up. If you're the boss, you got to take the authority and use it, because there's responsibility that comes with that position. There's a quota. The works that I do shall you do also. Operate in the heavenly places and begin to cast Satan down and quit letting him squat on your land. It's hard to walk around and tell the family, I'm the boss, and you fail and you fail and you fail. It would do some of your home so good to see daddy rise up one time and say, no more. I'm not falling down no more. I'm going to stand. I'm going to face the enemy. I'm going to look him in the eye and say, this is mine. Operate in heavenly places. Quit letting him have dominion in your mind. It's time to take back what the devil stole from you, to hunt it down and remember that the violent take it by force. No more living below our privilege and living like a servant when we're placed over the whole thing with dominion. He says he was the first who had jurisdiction over everything in the earth. Is that right? Over all the animals. And he lost his power. And we're taught in the Bible that what the first Adam lost, the second Adam, Christ, restored again to the human race. Amen. Hallelujah. You've got dominion. It's time to use it tonight. You have a place in him. You've been positioned in him. People want a place. That's fine. That's normal. But you can find your place here naturally and it be a temporary thing and find yourself lost at the end. Finding your place here isn't so important. But what's important is our place in Him. Our position and where we stand and what authority we operate in. And the devil goes and he keeps you tore up about things here and focused here and trials here to keep your attention off of your position and your place in this word. It's hard to focus when the home's tore up. It's hard to focus when you're sick. It's hard to focus when you've had long-term health issues or financial issues. But in those times, we're instructed, forget not his benefits. Why do they say it? Because of our tendency to forget. And so he tells you, forget not. I'm still the same in your trial. I'm the same in your sickness. I'm the same in your struggle. You got to recognize tonight that health is your place. Sickness is how he tries to rob it. Peace is your place. And anxiety tries to rob it. Joy is your place. And depression tries to steal it away. But we don't have to let him build on our property. We don't have to allow squatters to come on our property. It's back in our hands. We have the title deed. It belongs to us. And it's time you tell the squatter to get out. Quit letting him come time after time after time. Hallelujah. We don't have to let him squat. When Christ stripped Satan, he restored your right to speak the word, to battle from a place of authority, to square your shoulders back and look the enemy right in the face. It's been too long since some of us have looked him in the eye. Too long we've been cowed down. Too long we've been beat down and pushed around. I say it's time tonight. It's time tonight to recognize your place and the authority you have. When you're the one in authority, you don't walk around afraid to look at people and say, hey, would you go do that over? Need you to go do. But when you've been placed in authority and you know who you are and all of heaven is back and you have no problem walking up and looking him in the eye and saying, you've got to go. Sickness, you've got to leave. Anxiety, you've got to go. Depression, you cannot stay any longer. This belongs to me. This is my place. Hallelujah. This is mine. We've come way too far to stand around talking about it. He's done too much for it just to be doctrines to us. We've once again been granted access to things that were kept from so many different generations. We've got to go in. We have to take our place. We've got to press beyond the hindrances and the self-doubts and the worries and the attacks and get to our position. You know, I was thinking about it. You forgive a little sports analogy, but all the trials and all the issues and all the attacks is kind of like a defense on football. You can see your place. You see the end zone. That's where I need to be. But there's 11 big dudes trying to stop you. And they got plans for you, and they ain't nice plans. That's
And it's like every day you wake up, man, it's late, man, I'm going to pray in the morning, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to stand in my position, and tonight we're going to have the family altar, and run, flat tire, and bills are due, and you go to bed, and you did none of it. Defense wins. Don't think you're ever going to go face a team that's going to go, look, we're a little tired today. Let us just get out the way and let you go score. Ain't never going to happen. They are going to fight tooth and nail. And I'm going to tell you this. He's a good opponent. But luckily, we have the ability to read. And if you turn to the back of the book, it says you score and 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 you run up the score and you win. It's not even close. It's not even a contest. We leave victorious, overcomers. We get it all. We get our family. We get our health. We get a body change. We get a rapture. We get a marriage supper. We get eternity. We get all of it. It's not even a contest. Hallelujah. All this is just designed to keep you living outside of your position. Maybe a Christian, maybe living good, but not operating in a place where you can tear down Satan's kingdom. Not in a place of total victory, but caught in a place of doubt, of fear and worry. Can I do it? Lord, why would you ever choose me? Why me? Prophet God says, Jesus, so full of this quickening power, said, if you can destroy this temple that took you 40 years you thought to build, I'll raise it up in 3 days. He says, why? Why could Jesus say that? I want to ask you, why could Jesus say a thing like that? He knew that he was. Amen. I wish I could make that stick. He knew who he was. He knew that every word God wrote in there of him, he had to fulfill it. He knew he was the one David spoke of. Here's the line I'm trying to get to. Do you know? You're the ones that the Bible speaks of. Do you know your position? You're the one that the Bible speaks of. Why me, Lord? Because you're the main character. That's why this whole thing was written about you. So he chose you and he called you and he died for you. He said, you're the one that's going to overcome. You're the one that's going to take the rapture. You're the one the story's about. Hallelujah. You're everything. You're the one. You're the queen. You're the bride. You're the one he's going to prepare a place for. Can I make it? You can't not make it. It's not possible. You are the overcomers of the age. You are the reason for the message of the hour. Is the message for me? Well, yeah, you're the reason he sent it. Behold, I send unto you. That's right. Yes. You're the very reason it came. Amen. It's time we identify and say, Mama, that's me. That's who I am. That's my position. That's my place. And I'll tell you this. It isn't always a place of comfort. It isn't always the easiest road. Matter of fact, it's usually the hardest road. I can't remember the exact quote, but this is what the Brother Branham was told in the vision, because you chose the harder way. That goes for the people that are walking in this message, because you chose the harder way. But you don't attain victory by going halfway. By halfway selling out. I always say halfway in always leads to all the way out. Halfway in will always lead to all the way out. You got to sell out. And sometimes it hurts and it leads to family splits and family hurts and it comes with great battles. But you recognize the value in the position. Listen to the prophet of God. He says sometimes you have to separate from everything that's dear on earth to you to take your position that God's called you to. I'm sure you can read between the lines what I'm saying. See, sometimes the very dearest person on earth, you have to shake hands with them and take your position in Christ where God called you. In other words, shake hands and part ways. To take your position in Christ to where God called you, see? But what is God doing? Transforming you from what you was. Maybe a daughter or a son or whatever it is from a lovely family sometimes. But he places you somewhere else. My. To bring this message, it wasn't easy, see? No, it isn't. I had to forsake everything that was dear to me, even my own people, everybody. But you see, the value of it is, you see, is to do the will of God. That's the value of it. And I say, because of his choice and to sell out and bring a message, we're a very blessed people tonight. To have a message that has come, and it's a placing message. It placed us. It was totally different from everything else coming out of the religious world. There was nothing else to compare it to. And as I looked at this, I'm going to begin winding this down right now. And as I looked at this and I studied on the restoration of the position of man, I ended up coming across a quote where Brother Branham's talking about the year of Jubilee and the day of Pentecost. And it got me to studying a little bit in Leviticus how that, and I'm not going to go into it, we don't have time. But after 50 years, there would be a year of Jubilee. After 49 years, the 50th year would be a year of Jubilee. And in that year of Jubilee, everything went back to its original owner. Whether it was land, whether it was you had fell into debt and become a slave, you were restored, everything was returned to its original owner. Slaves and servants could return to their families. If a squatter was on the land, he left because he knew the original owner was on his way back. The squatter has to give way to the original possessor. Amen. And one thing that I found that I love was that the word Jobel, and I may not pronounce it right, but that's how it's spelt, which is the root word that the English word Jubilee is derived from. Jobel is not only the word for the trumpet, but it's the word for the specific sound that the trumpet gave to signify Jubilee. It was a certain sound, and it didn't sound like any other trumpet. Amen. It didn't sound like the trumpet they blew for other events or other feasts or other messages. It was a Jubilee trumpet. It was a specific Jubilee sound. This message didn't sound like the rest of the messages. It wasn't supposed to. It's a Jubilee message. And people say, well, it's different here and it's different there, and we don't teach that. We know. That's the point. It had a certain sound. It called a people out. It was totally different from the sound of every other trumpet. It was a Jubilee message that set us free. It broke every accusation. It ended denominational slavery, and it said we could return to the land of our fathers. Amen. Listen to this, reading here. It says there was to be the legal restoration of every Israelite to all the property and all the liberty which had been alienated from him since the last Jubilee, so that never was any people so secured in their liberty and their property. Never has ever there been a people that's been so secure in their liberty and in their property. I'll say in our liberty and in our promises. We are secure in that tonight because there is a Jubilee message that says you can return. You can have it all. Amen. What I love about it is it didn't matter if it was stolen or if they had thrown it away in their own folly. It didn't matter if they'd lost everything by their own ignorance. You got scars tonight. You've done dumb stuff. Get in line. You've lost possessions. You've allowed your joy to be taken. Your family's been stripped away because of decisions that you made. You've allowed the peace to be taken. You allowed the enemy to rob you by your own ignorance, your own choices. And the devil says, you can't have this possession. You can't have rest in this place. You have no right to this position because you gave it to me. Your sins gave it to me. Your failures is why I even have them. Doesn't matter. Jubilee! It's Jubilee. It don't matter if you messed up time after time after time and you were in prison because you did it. You were guilty. You were the sinner. Jubilee. He can't hold you any longer. Hallelujah. He says it could not be alienated any longer than till the year of Jubilee. And then he or his should return to it and have a title to it as undisputed and the possession of it as undisturbed, so that if a man had sold or mortgaged his estate or any part of it, it should then return to him or his heirs free of charge and of encumbrance. All right. What are you saying? It's all yours tonight. All right. Every mark has been broken. Every lie, every shackle has been torn off because it's a Jubilee message. Every promise is yours. Every benefit is yours. You don't owe the devil one thing. He's got no right to stay tonight. He has to give it back free of charge or restriction. And then it says, and the liberty which every man was born to, if it were sold or forfeited, should likewise return. Your liberty, your freedom in the spirit, your freedom, your walk of faith, the joy of the Lord. He says the liberty, whether you sold it or whether you forfeited it, the liberty you were born with, the liberty you had when the Holy Ghost first fell on you, the liberty you had when you first fell in love with Jesus, that liberty is to be restored to you during the year of Jubilee as the message goes forth and the Holy Spirit moves across. That liberty is yours tonight. Satan can't hold it any longer. Oh, glory to God. It's a Jubilee year. Adam had lost it all, and it seemed hopeless. Satan ruled over atmospheres and kingdoms, squatting on the rights and the dominion of man. And just when it seemed like it was a forever condition, Jesus stepped on the scene. I love how Brother Brown describes it. He says that after Calvary, the position was still in dispute. He said it was still disputed. He said it was still up for debate. He said after his death and his resurrection, it was still up for debate. He said because the question was out there, is it over? Is it really finished? Was he really the Lamb? And Satan's group began to say, no, the disciple stole his body. He was just a teacher. He was a man. He was a false prophet. And then even the followers, well, do we have rights? Are we restored? Do we have authority? It was still up for debate. And he said it was up for debate for 49 days. He said, but on day 50 was the day of Pentecost. He said, notice one day for every year. He said, day 50 was the Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah. He said it was Jubilee. He says, and that was all in doubt of the people. What happened to him? What taken place? Now at the end of the 50th day, then you see it couldn't be in dispute any longer. God, instead of them going on with the old orthodox, stiff, cold church, God sent the Holy Ghost back, run all the squatters out, and taken over. Power of the Holy Ghost came down, and the church received the earnest of the salvation. They come out of there and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. What happened? They was back in their place again. Authority had been restored. The ability to speak the word is showed. They've been returned to their original place. And I want to tell you something. You don't got to wait for no 50th year. You don't got to wait for a special service. Every service under this message is a Jubilee service. It's a Jubilee trumpet. You can have it tonight. You can go free tonight. You can break the chains of sickness tonight, of sin, of depression, whatever's holding you tonight. It's a Jubilee night in the house of God. You don't got to wait, but it's here and it's been restored. That's your position. You are the inheritor. You are the victor. You are the overcomers. Hallelujah. Man tried to give it away again after the day of Pentecost. Satan got in the church and once again stripped down the church of its power and robbed it of its authority. And we've come down through time. Seven Sabbaths. Seven ages. Seven churches. Where once again man disputed. Man questioned. Man bound the Holy Spirit by denominational rivers. Till once again we came to a Jubilee. And the Jubilee message sounded. And every claim against the church was struck off. The pillar of fire was back. The slave belts fell off. And walls came crumbling down. He tells us, he says, the Holy Spirit's been bound by these denominational rivers for almost 2,000 years. But is to be loosed in the evening time. By the evening time message. The Holy Spirit back in the church again. Christ himself revealed in human flesh in the evening time. Amen. What do we have? We have access. We have opportunity. Down through the ages, they operated with what they had. They overcame with the anointed given. But Satan's Eden could not be overcome with the access they had. The message restored full access to the position that Adam fell from. full availability. Take your place. Take your place. Take your position. Rise up. Get into Christ. He is the place of your rest. He is your refuge in the time of trouble. I'm telling you, we're living in the time of trouble right now. But I'm not shaken because I have a place. I have a place to stand. I have a place to anchor. I have a place to go back to when the doubts roll in and the complexes rise up and the fears start to come. I got a place that I'm anchored to. He tells us right here, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. I say, set me there, Lord. Set me there. Place me where you want me. Hide me in your secret place. I don't want my own place. I don't want to go looking for my own way. I don't want to find comfort here and how I fit here and what I can accomplish here. That's what Judas did. Christ wasn't enough. The place amongst the disciples wasn't enough. The place in the ministry and in the church wasn't enough. A place at the table with Jesus wasn't enough. So he went searching for other things and other fulfillments and other rewards. Tells us right here, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Wasn't enough. But then it says that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. I don't want to go to my own place, church. I don't want to go to a place like that. It says he went to his final eternal destination. It signifies a place of judgment and torment distinct from the apostolic ministry that he abandoned. Church, we have a place to go to. And it may be hard and it may be painful and it may be difficult. But the prophet of God, he tells you somewhere in you, you've accepted God. Maybe sometime in an intellectual way. Maybe you felt the power of God and you're a servant of God. But when you can really come into God and recognize your place in him as a son or daughter of God, that's what brings that great thrill to you. The one that everybody's searching for. Where's my place? What's my purpose? They're looking for it. He says, that's what brings that thrill to you. That God intended you to have. When you really, truly find your place in him. Church, tonight I want to find my place in him. No matter the struggle, no matter the fight, no matter the cost. Let me be counted as one of them willing to stand and take my place with the believers of the last day. Willing to say, I found my place under the message of the hour. I found my place and here I'll stand. We're living in the very time of the return when all the squatters are going to have to get off the land that God created for his children. The kingdoms of this world will fall and the legal owners are coming back. Amen. Prophet says, but see, it's like the church has to pass through the hall of critics. We go through. You're going to be called a holy roller. You're going to be called everything. But if you can only hold your position in Christ, someday he'll take us to the Hall of Fame. And will you stand together with me tonight? Your place. You can always find your place in him. You'll always find love in him. Those searching for something tonight, searching for love, searching for a place, searching, searching, searching. I want you to know you're important to him. That he loves you tonight. If you're struggling to find your place tonight, find it in him. Give your everything to him. Let him be the friend tonight that sticks closer than a brother. Let him be your purpose and your passion. Amen. Find your place. Get into your position. You're irreplaceable. I was thinking about it. You know, as nobody can take your place. There's a seat waiting for you at a table 1,000 miles long that only you can sit in. There's a name on the Lamb's Book of Life that when the roll's called, only you can answer to. Amen. It's not just nobody can take your place here. Nobody can take your place there. He's going to call your name and you're going to answer. You're going to sit at the place set for you. I know that we are seated now in heavenly places. I want to read this scripture to close. And I know that many have moved into their position. But I also recognize that there must be a few puzzle pieces not in place or we wouldn't still be here. But when it all comes together and the last puzzle piece gets in its place, and the bride recognizes who she is and her place and her position and her authority, then what happens? And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. neither was their place found any more in heaven. Why? Original landowners coming home. Because Brother Branham says when he's cast out, bride goes up. He's got to go. Original landowners coming home. Squatters got to leave. Amen. He says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Church, there's a place for you right there. And he may be trying to hold it now, but the original's coming home. The original seed's coming back to our place. The original landowners. Squatter, it's time you get out, because they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's a place for you tonight. A place for you tonight. God bless you tonight. Hallelujah.
Thankful for that place. Amen. A place of safety, a place where I belong. Amen. You are my refuge. Z-flat. And you are my refuge. You are my sanctuary. When I feel afraid, you're my hiding place. You are my refuge. When the storm is raging underneath the wings, I rejoice and sing. You are my refuge. You are my refuge. You are my refuge.
It's here that all my doubts and fears just melt away.
I lay my burdens down as I look into your face.
You are my refuge. You are my sanctuary.
I drift into your word, and you always take me there.
You are my refuge.
You are my sanctuary. When I feel afraid, you're my hiding place.
You are my
refuge.
It's here that all my doubts and fears just melt away. I lay my burdens down as I look upon your face. You are my refuge.
You are my sanctuary. And I feel the praise for my hiding place. You are my refuge here when the storm is raging. Underneath your wings I rejoice and sing, 'cause you are my refuge.
Oh, you are my refuge.
You are my refuge.
What a joy to find, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessed peace, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, I'm leaning, leaning, safe and secure. Everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms.